You are listening to C-Suite Perspectives, a podcast by the Conference Board.
Welcome to C-Suite Perspectives, a signature series by the Conference Board. I'm Steve Odlin, the CEO of the Conference Board and the host of this podcast series. And in today's conversation, we're going to discuss corporate responsibility with Yum! Brands. Joining me today is John Hixon, Chief Sustainability Officer for Yum! Brands. John, welcome to the program.
Hi, Steve. It's great to be here and nice to have a conversation with you.
So, John, you know, Yum! Has just really done, you know, a tremendous amount with sustainability over the years. You were one of the early entrants into this whole field, and you personally are an expert on this. Give us a little bit about your background and experience, including what you've done at Yum!
Thanks. Happy to tell a little bit of the journey, if you will. And I've really worked mainly, if there's a theme in my career, I always say it's kind of 30 years of wandering through the world's food system. So I've been in the food side of sustainability for about 30 years, kind of worked in agricultural processing, kind of grew up on a farm to start it all off, and kind of the core kind of production of wheat and cattle and corn and that kind of thing. But then worked in food processing for ConAgra. Worked on Capitol Hill for a number of years doing food policy, trade, and kind of the conservation programs at that time around the world's food systems. Then joined Cargill and worked 12 years with Cargill kind of in various locations around the world, and now lead sustainability and government affairs for Yum! And I've done that for about 8 years. So yeah, it's been a great journey and seen a lot of things change.
Yeah, and you've been, as you said, around food for a very long time, and sustainability and food, you know, takes on, you know, slightly different dimensions and very important dimensions, you know, versus some other industries. Talk about what sustainability means in the food industry.
It's interesting. This is actually the first role I've had where that part of that word has been in my title. In the past, I would also say I'm a little bit of a crisis guy. I've helped companies resolve large challenges in food. And if I think back to those big challenges, the early ones often revolved around, how do you protect highly sensitive habitats, tropical jungles? How do you make sure people are treated well in your supply chain from a human rights and working conditions perspective? So it's evolved from working on kind of spot market major challenges globally. I would say a lot of my work was outside the US because the US has a high functioning regulatory system. So where your food comes from on a global sense may often be an emerging economy. So how do you address those big challenges? And those were the early days for sure. And I think by now it's much more refined. I think we've got more themes and focus areas, you know, climate, human rights, water, some of these big things around biodiversity are a little more coalesced into kind of big blocks of the world's food system, I would say. And you've had a lot of more standardized reporting and systems to help track and say, okay, are you fixing like a spot market problem, or you're developing a pattern of continuous improvement over time? So it's evolved a lot, certainly over my career.
Well, and this is really important. You know, I think we have roughly 8 billion people on Earth today. And, you know, at one time it was estimated we couldn't feed more than 5 billion. And it's been the sustainability efforts of the food industry and Yum! And the work that you've done over time that has allowed us to essentially sustain that level of population.
It has, and it's a lot of innovation and technology driving that, and a lot of it is this core principle that we in the business world would just call like doing more with less. Like, how do you produce more product with less land, less water, less inputs, drive that efficiency? And that globally is what's helped the system. Certainly there are challenges where that footprint continue to expand into some critical habitats and areas, but a lot of that success in meeting the stomachs of 5 billion versus 8 billion has been that drive for efficiency. And we just need to make sure we do it while we don't create externalities that are negative and have other implications. That's kind of the magic of what the world's food system has largely done and needs to do more of, is really continue to grow, feed the right people in the right ways in a healthy and sustainable manner, but with less emissions, less footprint, more support for biodiversity and treatment of people. That's the matrix.
Yeah. Now in the corporate world, sustainability has evolved, I mean, really dramatically, particularly over the last decade. And, you know, companies have multiple stakeholders, customers, employees, owners, community, environment. What are you seeing as the key trends now in sustainability across these multiple stakeholders?
There's a couple, I think, kind of key trends that are out there, both internal to the company and external. I think internally, that focus, you know, we just talked about efficiency, that focused on making sure that sustainability becomes more integrated into the corporate strategy. You know, Yum, we often talk about strategy, structure, or culture. Those are the way we develop our strategies and then also ultimately make sure they pull themselves into execution. You don't want your sustainability team taking a separate approach. Like at the end of the day, there's a lot of work to make sure that the business case for what we're doing is solid, and that the work of sustainability becomes less of an outpost function of the sustainability team and more built into the things and the ways we do our supply chain, our development, our ops, those kind of things. So it's how do we evolve it and make it more integrated? And for our franchisees, and we're largely a franchise system, it's how do we do things that help them save money, help them drive efficiencies, and also aid in consumer relevance. And it shows well that keeps a brand modern the way it needs to be. So all those have been, I think, kind of major trends that have evolved over the years. And I'd be remiss if I don't at least mention regulations too. So all of while those corporate activities and consumer facing activities have occurred, there's been in the last, particularly 36 months, just a massive growth in kind of regulatory obligations, especially for global companies impacted by overseas jurisdictions.
You know, it's interesting when you read your sustainability reports, you talk about a strategy that's built around people, food, and planet. I know from experience, every one of those words was contemplated and debated and chosen very deliberately. Talk about what that means.
Yeah, like I said, part of that move over time was to develop consistency about it. So when I first joined Yum about 8 years ago, we really started to think around what is this journey of a consistent and integrated strategy look like. We talked a lot about the recipe for good. You know, we have a recipe for growth and recipe for good. We've now merged those two together, but it really started with that recipe for good back then. And we knew we had to, you have to distill and simplify things in to drive any bold change. So we simplified into those three channels of food, people, and planet. And then we had a kind of harmonized way we were going to report every year. And that helped us begin to like measure and monitor our change. And probably the last evolution is we knew we needed some focus areas, especially on the planet side. So we really did, after listening to stakeholders, really did try to elevate our climate work and our packaging work as kind of North Stars that can give consistency and focus for the company, but also help us meet beyond those two areas. But they also help us meet other interesting kind of challenges as well, like against biodiversity, water. When you work on climate, you naturally pick up a number of those things, but getting simple, long-term, like North Stars, as few as you can, very helpful in kind of driving change, especially in a system as large as ours.
It's interesting when you describe it, you started with the corporate strategy. And so it's not like for you, this is a separate deal. You know, you've got a sustainability strategy that sits over here, and then you've got corporate strategy that sits over there. The way you describe it is it's interwoven into a fabric.
That's the goal. I'd be lying if I said it was 100% interwoven, but I'd also be lying if I'd say if it's totally separate. So it's been a journey. I think one of the big key moves when our current CEO, David Gibbs, took over the helm of the company, he kind of took that language I just mentioned, and it's a recipe for good growth. So it used to be recipe for growth, recipe for good. It was merged together then. And I think that's indicative both symbolically, but it helps pull it through senior leaders' minds of how we build into our annual planning process, our operations, all those sorts of things. But it takes time. There's a lot of competing pressures on markets and business units, as you know. But it's definitely on that journey of integration, and really proud of the progress we've made there.
But you know, but articulating it is sometimes 9/10 of it, and getting buy-in around that, because it's, you know, it's interesting. You've got your team, you and your team, who are, you know, in charge of sustainability, but it really happens, as you said, in all these different areas, you know, whether it's supply chain, marketing, through the franchise, operation. So it really requires a coordination across the entire company.
Absolutely. And I've always said, you know, we need the right size sustainability team, but no bigger than that. Because at the end of the day, we need a lot of roles and leadership. Again, procurement. You think about the decisions they're making on packaging and how they engage with our suppliers on the way they address climate and risks and human rights and water. You know, that's the team that needs to make sure those communications and conversations are going on. You're not going to have a separate sustainability team do that with near the effectiveness that they can when it's the folks kind of driving your procurement decisions. So lots of just like one example, but that replicates itself all over the company.
Well, and you're global. I mean, you have operations all over the world, so you can't even think about it in terms of one country or one market or one continent even. So, and you know, your supply chain is vast. I mean, you have, you know, you're procuring what and how many countries? I don't know if you said, but it's got to be hundreds of countries. And so, you know, that takes a fair amount of coordination because there's different laws around the world. There are different practices around the world, and sustainability means different things around the world. So, you know, orchestrating that is really an incredible task.
It is. And we've got great leaders, great people doing it. And that's one thing that's what drew me to Yum originally was the corporate culture and the people. And that's what absolutely keeps me here. So we got great people making those changes. And if I didn't mention it, so Yum Brands is KFC, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, and Habit Burger. And it's 60,000 restaurants globally, over 150 countries. And the interesting factoid I always drop out there is that over the last 3 years, we've opened one new restaurant every 2 hours, 365 days a year for that period. When you think of that level of growth, and one, it increases the realities and demands around sustainability, but it's also just the planning of operations and supply chain and development to make all those openings happen in concert with our franchisees and ensure that they've got chicken lined up for KFC and taco shells lined up for a Taco Bell. All those things have to be lined up. So it takes a lot of integration to make all those things happen for sure.
Well, and you know, a considerable challenge is with your suppliers, which is up the supply chain, and you've got multiple scopes of, you know, in these reporting structures that you're dealing with. And in some ways, the things that you handle directly, you know, that the company handles directly is to some extent easier. I'm not saying it's easy necessarily, but you touch it, you control it. Then you have one, you know, Yum is challenged in the sense that all of your operation or most of your operations are franchised. And so that's one level removed. You're working with independent business people and you have to convince them to, you know, to sign on and to operate in this sustainable way. And then you go beyond that up the supply chain to your meat suppliers, well, all of your suppliers, you know, and trying to get coordination. How do you orchestrate all of that?
We started a few years, we've tried a couple different things. So one, in some areas, we've kind of sponsored and joined like supplier education coalitions, if you will. Like we were in a plan called the Supplier Leadership on Climate Transition, which was a kind of an education program that we were a part of for a number of years. Ultimately ended up having, I think 80, 90% of our beef suppliers, for example, had either been through that training or had their own goals in sustainability. So part of it was supplier training and engagement. And then a couple of years ago, we really kind of formalized our thinking around it to be like, okay, our suppliers are oftentimes very large and serve regions where we in that region may just buy a very small percentage of their overall production. So we really have kind of a three-pronged strategy for supply chain kind of work where we try to do pilot projects with our suppliers, so partner up with them. And we see that a lot in our key commodities around beef, chicken, and dairy and some of the feed ingredients thereof. And then what we want to do on those pilots is test innovations that kind of meet the environmental or needs that are kind of out there, and then try where possible to be public and transparent and show what those results are, whether they're good, bad, or otherwise. Use those as platforms to drive innovation and show ourselves and others how it can work. So pilot projects. Then we join a lot of cross-sector collaborations like the U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef. I've been a committee member of the Roundtable for Sustainable Palm for a number of years. We're on the Roundtable for Sustainable Poultry and Eggs and the Dairy Sustainability Alliance. all of those coalitions are great because they allow us to get visibility and engagement from retail clear down to the farmer. So even with our big suppliers, we wouldn't normally have that ease of connecting with the farmer side. It's just not easy to do. So those groups really help us kind of connect with the producers, really understand what's on their minds as well, how they're seeing us, how we can work together. And then the third piece of that strategy is really data and measurement. I always say it's if you've got coal, oil, or gas in the ground and it goes into the atmosphere, you can measure your greenhouse gas. But the cyclical nature of the world's food system between the cycle of photosynthesis, the methane cycle, all these things where carbon molecule may be in the grass and eaten by an animal and emitted later and come back and get sequestered back into the soil, the measurement there is extremely difficult. So we try to collaborate as much as we can with partners on how we get better at trying to have data that is, I would say, it honest and has some integrity. It's not to say it's perfect, but the data piece is a really, really challenging element. So have pilot projects, work with broad collaborations and cross-sector engagements, and team together to try to get better data that shows kind of what we're working on and how the results are to ensure you are trying to drive continuous improvement.
We're talking about sustainability at Yum Brands. We're going to take a short break and be right back.
What does the future of work mean for your employees? How will your company navigate ESG? Will there be a global recession? At the Conference Board, our experts translate the latest research and economic analysis into insights and real-time problem solving for your organization. Membership at the Conference Board provides your team with an assortment of knowledge from economics, marketing and communications, ESG, public policy, and human capital. As a member, you'll have access to our center experts, member-exclusive events, data and benchmarking tools, and peer sharing that will help you understand the present and shape the future. Consider becoming a Conference Board member today by visiting www.conference-board.org.
Welcome back to C-Suite Perspectives. I'm your host, Steve Odlin from the Conference Board, and I'm joined today by John Hixon, Chief Sustainability Officer at Yum Brands. So John, before the break, we were talking about, you know, this sort of data-driven approach and this really intentional approach to working with your suppliers around the world. How do you leverage technology? You talk about data, but how do you leverage technology to drive sustainability?
I love the power of technology. And I think sometimes people, I'll give you a couple examples that are like capital T technology, kind of old school, like innovation in technology. So I think we lean in a lot to help drive that efficiency story. And so it can be, you know, the capital T is we do a lot of work around geospatial monitoring of our supply chains, especially in sensitive habitats like tropical areas. So when we source cooking oils, for example, from areas around the equator, we track all the data points of where our like palm oil mills and facilities are, so that if there's any concerns, we can track down and see if there's been any infractions or violations or conversions of critical habitat there. So, and that's, you and I are thousands of miles away from where a lot of our food is produced on a practical level. And even beyond that, as a global system, our corporate headquarters is for sure going to be many thousands of miles away from all of our locations around the world. So that use of those monitoring systems has been very, very powerful and just interesting at kind of helping catalyze change and adding transparency. A lot of people talk about traceability, super critical, but to me that transparency is actually the bigger driver of change of what you need in a lot of the world's food systems. And it can go also down to like low level innovation. One of my favorite pilots we did was a dairy methane emissions reduction project that really revolved around just more precise measurement of feed and making sure that the animal gets just what it needs and doesn't have a lot of excess and leftover. And that worked to be more precise and really called a sio cup, kind of more accurately measuring feed and residual in the bunk, resulted in an almost 10% emissions reduction there. So it can be sexy satellites. It can be just a way more precise measurement in the bunk. So I think there are ways you can use innovation and technology, but it doesn't have to be ones and zeros in a digital sense. It can be all the above.
And are you using AI for any of this?
We are certainly using AI kind of across Yum overall. A lot of the AI is around how we roll the information together, how we ensure the data is accurate in telling the story, and driving efficiency. I think AI isn't reducing things, but it certainly is reducing a lot of the mundane activities of that roll-up piece that kind of has to occur, especially for a lot of our regulatory side of what we're doing. Really, the goal was to try to use AI to free up kind of the human capital to drive that really thinking and innovation that we need to do there and marry the two together. So it's a AI overall is certainly a big part of our sustainability and corporate strategy.
You know, we were talking before the break about your franchise operations. You know, how do you convince, you know, a franchisee to, you know, to adopt these kind of sustainable practices?
It takes time. It is a lesson in advocacy. I sometimes call advocacy like waves against the beach. You have to have small little messages that continue to hit the rocks and eventually knock the rough edges off. And I think we have to bring our franchisees along. We talk about creating a culture of bringing people with you. You have to make sure they understand clearly what the action is we're trying to do. What's the ROI of it? Is it value adding? Is it cost neutral? Does it have an extra cost? And if so, is there a regulatory or consumer facing impact that helps justify why it is that way? So it's a lot of kind of understanding what their situation is and then bringing it along in a way that works for their operations. And as you mentioned, a lot of it is also just working with our suppliers to make sure that we can leverage their scale and our scale to kind of bring those needed innovations and sustainability forward in a way that is cost efficient and save money. So it's not a one size fits all easy answer. It is very difficult, but it's to me an important part of the job. It's really how we relate and kind of meet them where they are and try to bring them on the journey with the understanding in a way that makes it actionable.
But it's discussion. I mean, it requires deliberateness about how you approach and, you know, in a friendly manner and laying out the goals and, you know, all of that. So it takes time, but it, you know, it also builds relationships.
Absolutely. Well,
Yeah.
we've got one of the bigger ones we had. I was just on a major call about it yesterday, and we'll have more calls to come, I'm sure. There's a number of states that are changing packaging recovery laws in the US that we will have a lot of work to do to kind of comply with the Californias of the world that are out there. We can't do that without a lot of communication and understanding and of our franchisees and what works and how we all think of where we're trying to get to. But they've got great ideas too. Our franchisees are entrepreneurs, small business owners. They're trying to figure out ways every day to serve customers better, make things work better, and we need to collaborate and work with them more than anything.
Well, the easier ones is where, you know, where sustainability efforts take cost out because that's a win-win. It's not cheap, it's not easy, but in the long run, it's beneficial. But you know, it's the regulatory stuff that sometimes drives you crazy. You mentioned, you know, a surge in regulations around the world in the past 3 years. Talk about some of those and how you've risen to that challenge.
Sure, a couple of the examples are, again, we've mentioned a little bit on kind of the energy side and this close focus on carbon and climate. And, you know, it requires a lot more of us trying to A, disclose, and then how do we have transition plans that work? And I think, you know, when you talk about how do we A, address those regulatory demands and then B, drive operational change, one of the things like energy management systems in restaurants that automatically shut off and turn on your equipment as we see consumer demand and needs emerging in the restaurant in an automated fashion so that something doesn't run longer than it needs to and doesn't warm up earlier than it should. Those sorts of things are been usually successful because that automation built within there provides more data that helps us get accuracy for the auditable requirements and the regulatory requirements and how we have to disclose. It also saves the franchisee because it cuts their energy bill, lowers their operational costs within the restaurant, and using less energy also results in a greenhouse gas reduction. So it's the way we look to stack that regulatory demand with, yes, we need to comply, but let's think, are there ways we can do it that also create economics and efficiency that work for our franchisees and suppliers?
Food waste is another area that has been a hot topic lately.
It is. And we have a really, I love our, I shouldn't say I love our food waste program. That sounds kind of weird. But one, we try to minimize our food waste. And that also goes in with that predictive scheduling kind of piece And I think we'll see more AI on that side too, of really making sure that we minimize the amount of kind of waste from a holding category standpoint. You know, it is quick service, it is fast food. How do we get it in the hands of the consumers, hot, fresh, in a way they want to have it, but not produce more than we have to? So there's some planning and technology used on that side. And then we have a global program on food waste reduction, where we do take product that is safe and good and perfect in the eyes of the consumer, but put that into a system where it goes into the freezer in a separate bag and then gets donated into global food banks. A lot of it is protein, and they don't get a lot of protein in that sort of space. So it fits really well, meets a need, and over the years has resulted in millions of pounds of donated food globally and enhanced nutrition and food security in critical areas as well. So we try to minimize it up front, but then make sure we find ways to repurpose, if at all possible, in ways that are good for society and our communities.
So, looking ahead, what do you consider your top priorities in sustainability for Yum! Brands?
I think our top priorities going forward are we have to build the systems on the regulatory side to meet that increased level of compliance. Again, particularly coming out of Europe and from a few states here in the U.S., compliance is kind of a primacy element of corporate behavior that we want to have and kind of do the right thing. But beyond that, I think our key goals around climate and packaging will remain kind of our North Stars. That structure of food, planet, people feels good and consistent. We've left our community impact as well as the food changes we've talked about and have done as well. So I think that framework will be there. I think our other nuance that we just got to lean into a little bit more is the consumer understanding. That's the hardest part. They're fickle. People get passionate about brands for various reasons. And I think we want to make sure we try to do the things in sustainability that land in an authentic and attractive way for consumers, where we're meeting them where they are, not preaching to them, but making them feel really great about the fact that they are consuming our product and engaging with the brand. So we got to keep that analysis and kind of communication understanding going for getting the right sort of consumer positioning that we need to have on our sustainability efforts overall.
So just wrapping up then, is, you know, we've got a lot of our listeners are experts in the sustainability field, but some are earlier in their careers. What advice would you give to those business leaders and sustainability professionals as they contemplate the development of their own programs?
I sometimes can be a buzzkill for young college graduates coming out of, because I think the most important advice is to take a moment and deeply understand your underlying business, the business strategy, what drives your profit and loss, what really is the growth plan for the company, and then make sustainability fit into it in a way that kind of meets the business where it is, meets your stakeholders, investors, managers, leaders in the company, and consumers the way it is. Where I've seen people struggle is when they come in guns a-blazing and want to change the world and may not understand their underlying business of where they are. You have to kind of make it be integrated and fitting in all together. And that's kind of my advice to young and old in this space, is kind of a lot of challenges. Let's make sure that we seek to address those, but use the full power of your organization. And you can't really do that unless you really understand the growth strategy, operational strategy of the company itself, and then pull it all together.
John Hixon, Chief Sustainability Officer at Yum! Brands, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Steve. I've enjoyed our conversation.
And thanks to all of you for listening to C-Suite Perspectives. I'm Steve Odlin, and this series has been brought to you by the Conference Board.
You have been listening to C-Suite Perspectives, a podcast by the Conference Board.